Those were two excellent presentations.
It's amazing.
And I'm going to give Dr. Calenta-Zeta just a few moments to rebut if he chooses to. Cam, would you like to rebut Dr. Chazot? No, you stay there. You're mic'd.
Oh, okay. Stay right microphone. All right. So it was one of the best talks, as usual, Dr. Chazot. I have always followed his important contributions as well as lectures. Now, just going briefly over a few things about residual kidney function. Yes, it's very difficult, very challenging to assess. However, I'm just going to say one thing. If in peritoneal dialysis patient care we do that despite all the challenges, so should we in hemodialysis. Residual kidney function assessment and follow-up should come back to hemodialysis as it was until early zeros, until 2004 and 5. So if we do on PD, we should do it on HD. In terms of the hyperkalemia, potassium, I have a different hypothesis. The reason that mortality of the long dialysis or weekend dialysis is high, actually, if you look at the two main papers as well as other papers, mortality is not high during weekend. It's, in fact, mortality is the lowest on Sunday. It's high, mortality is high on the day of first dialysis of the week, that means on Monday afternoon and Tuesday afternoon or evening, probably because of the hypokalemia that we cause, the drop in potassium, right? So now, again, hopefully twice weekly dialysis for those who make urine and who don't have potassium problem. Most of my twice weekly dialysis patients are on 3Ks or 4K BAT. And the last one about busyness of that. So the busyness, of course, is a matter of debate. As I said, eventually the model in the U.S., be it ESCO or integrated kidney plan, will decide. We'll probably push for one of these things. I just would like to remind our nephrologists in the U.S. that physician fee collection remains the same whether patients on once-a-week dialysis or daily dialysis. As long as you see patients, one plus three times, that means one comprehensive time and three limited times. So far as I know, it hasn't changed. That's how we are billing. Now, the collection based on your dialysis unit, if you have the certain involvement in the business of dialysis, like joint venture, is it affected or not? I can tell you one thing, that when we started twice weekly dialysis, when he offered that in Orange County, almost all private practice groups, they had to follow us because they noticed their patients are coming to us. Their patients would say, I want twice weekly dialysis. How come UC Irvine is offering and you guys are not? And then they started twice weekly dialysis within half a year. Now the entire Southern California is doing twice weekly. It has gone now to Northern California. It's going to the East Coast. Nashville is already doing this. So it's already being done. That's in terms of business, and we'll see what business implications it will have.
Thank you.
I'll stop you.
Charles, would you like to have a rebuttal to him?
No. Well we don't know what could be or what is the mortality because of hyperkalemia with twice-weekly hemodialysis. It is the reason why we need this randomized controlled trial, because, of course, the scope of increased mortality on the first day of dialysis of the week has been demonstrated with thrice weekly, but with twice weekly we don't know. We don't have any precise data about this, unless I am wrong. But I think we lack this information, and this is very important. Remind what I said when I questioned Guy Laurent 30 years ago, asking him, why did you switch the patients from twice weekly to thrice weekly? He said, because we lost patients of hyperkalemia. So, of course, the scope was different. It was not incident patients, probably, and these patients were anuric. But I would be concerned by the problem of kalemia, and it is the same with the interdiuretic weight gain.
I'd like to make a couple comments. One is in the IDEAL trial, incremental was included, and you quoted the IDEAL trial, mm-hmm. The Cooper study.
Yes.
And let's everybody be aware that was a trial that was intended to initiate at about a GFR 14 versus 7. What in fact happened is those that were to start at 14 started at about 11, and those that were to start at 7 started at about 9. So the difference was between 9 and 11, and it was a very difficult trial to conduct of some 700 patients. That's item one. Item two is when CAM put together a group to formulate that those recommendations. Steve Rosansky was part of the original group, and Steve refused to be on the final paper because of something that Charles raised, and that's the concept of starting dialysis earlier than you might have otherwise started. And he didn't want to participate because of that. So though this controversy is quite rampant, we won't know until we have the RCTs. We have to be very, very careful with observational studies, as you have said, because of the patient selection. And CAM went through selection criteria. I've been doing incremental dialysis of every kind since the 90s, and it is highly selected. Your average patient may not be able to do this. CAM's point is that with certain education and strategies, yes, the average patient can. And I think that's where we are now. So we're going to entertain questions. Hang on one sec. We're going to do the one card, and then you get to go. So this is to either one of you, but probably to you, CAM. In the China DOPS study, they found no effect of residual kidney function on the twice a week versus three times a week. It says DOPS. Is that DOPS. Was there a
DOPS? DOPS China. Yeah. Actually, if that question pertains to the DOPS data from China, because the DOPS twice weekly dialysis papers, there have been three or four so far, they're mostly based on the data from China, where twice weekly dialysis used to be practiced very frequently. Now it's still there. It used to be over 50%. For example, in India, we don't know exactly, it's 50 to 80%. In Mexico, actually, next door to us, is over half. There is really no data. Now, so the DOPS data from China, they have had three papers so far. I'm aware of the three out of several. And yes, there are controversies, there are differentials across their papers, but the mortality, the last paper suggested that mortality of these patients on twice weekly was greater. So I'm here, I agree with Dr. Chazot that very astutely looked at some of this data and the differences across this and these discrepancies. And I'm not here to question that, I'm just here also to agree with him that we need randomized, pragmatic randomized controlled trials is not very difficult. DaVita, Fresenius, VAs, we can do this if there is enough support.
So the paper that you were a co-author on from Minmin Zhang from Shanghai, that, let me just point out that that's our sister hospital, in case you don't know that. And I have been to that hemodialysis unit. Have you been to that hemodialysis
Yes.
unit? I want to describe it to you. I wish I could show you a picture. Every patient in the unit, and they have 25 beds that way and 25 beds that way. Every patient is in a bed. They're all in scrubs. The fistula rate is 100%. 100%. Now, some people's reaction is, wow, they have fantastic surgeons. I doubt that. When you have anything that's 100%, let's make sure you understand that's patient selection. So let's be real cautious about these observational studies. This is about patient selection. I've been to that unit, CAM.